We are currently here joined by Mr. Aldo Thomas from Tongue Dissolver. We're going to be talking about the band's new tracks, Red Dirt and No Harm. Morena, how you doing, my G?
Good. How are you, Morena?
Nice, man. I'm good. I see you rocking the, what's that band, the headphone brand called? Are they HyperX or something?
That's Cloud a great X. Question.
I feel like they're quintessential gamer
you're
headphones.
Right, you're right. Yeah. Gamer headphones.
Nice. Are you much of a gamer?
Historically, yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. I dive in when I can, but I've lost the urge, you know. There was some childhood wonder in it, and for some reason now I just can't do it. I don't have the stamina.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's so much magic that's been taken out of gaming because of how newer consoles are kind of lifeless in a way, you know?
Yeah, true.
I don't know. There's like something just quintessential about booting up a PS2 and seeing that loading screen.
Yeah. And just getting lost in some like fantasy world. That's true. That's true.
And like new graphics are gorgeous, but they're quite boring. I mean, it's like how when Disney made the Lion King live action, it just took all the magic away, you know? It's a bit sad. Anyway, we're not here to talk about video games.
we can if we want.
I
just limited to say on it. I can talk about 90s video games.
True. You have a PS1 growing up?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I was like the RPG fantasy kid.
Oh, like Final Fantasy or?
Well, you're talking my stuff. Final Fantasy, I love that game.
Was Chrono Trigger on PS1? Or am I thinking of...
I think it was.
Yeah. Classic. Abe's Exodus was great. Abe's Odyssey.
Yeah.
Medieval. Medieval was a very fun game.
Epic. Love that shit.
A lot of good games.
So fun.
Yeah, tons of good games in there. My family used to have a PS1 until I poured milk on it when I was like 3, because I was like, what is this going to do?
Fuck yeah. What did it do?
Yeah, what a shit move. You're joining us from Nam, correct?
Yeah, from Nam.
Nice.
Originally up from Yugo Bay Country on the Gold Coast, which is like further north. But yeah, I moved down to Nam about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And how is it there at the moment?
It is good. We've had a tense sort of political environment the last couple of days with some protests in the city.
To with Free Palestine?
Otherwise, yeah, there's a weapons convention here at the moment.
What?
So we had... Yeah, big weapons of destruction convention.
Oh, that's
so
horrible.
We were down there protesting that yesterday. Pretty full on.
Is that like Northrop Grumman or like Lockheed Martin or one of those quote-unquote defense contractors?
It was all of them.
Oh, it was like an expo. Yeah,
there was an expo, yeah. They had the big bombs, they had the big tanks, they had 2,000 police officers or something.
Sheesh.
Yep.
Man, I did see a video of some pretty gnarly police activity, so definitely worth protesting. And your band is quite politically involved as well, which we can kind of touch on when we get talking about the tunes. So we'll start off with a question related to the band's name, Tongue Dissolver. When I heard the name, it got me thinking about acidic foods. Now, according to Healthline, which is more acidic, blueberries or pineapple?
Great question. I'm going to say pineapple.
It's blueberries. Blueberries have a pH of 3.2 to 4, and pineapple was 3.12 to 3.33.
That tracks, actually.
It's weird, eh? I did not... Yeah. It's weird.
Okay, right. Yeah, because I'm thinking, like, pineapple, you have it with meat. It, like you know, tacos kind of vibe. It's, like, dissolving the meat. But acidic blueberries...
Weird, eh? I think, I also did the wrong pHs, sorry. Blueberries have a pH of 3.12 to 3.33. Pineapple had the other one. The pH might not affect, I guess, how acidic it is. I'm not too sure. But pineapple does... I can't eat pineapple because it dissolves my tongue, you know? It's a brutal thing.
Right. It does that. It actually does that.
Blueberries don't do that, so I don't know where they're getting this fact from. anyway, bit of a tangent. But we're talking about the tracks Red Dirt and No Harm. What is the red dirt that you refer to on the track Red Dirt?
Great question. So I was born in a town in sort of like... It's like west of Brisbane, called Toowoomba. It's a volcanic crater, and it has this like a really iron-rich soil. And I guess that's like where my family are from and stuff like that. And I guess that's the red dirt that we're talking about in this. Yeah. And it's also, like, it's pretty common around Australia, you know, you see images of, like, desert and, like, sort of, like, vast red sort of plains and stuff like that. There's, like, iron-rich soil around Australia. So that's the dirt, yeah.
True. Was that quite a, just a nostalgic image for you?
Yeah, it's nostalgic, for sure. Like, it reminds me of my grandma's garden, you know, traveling around Australia as well. Like, it's just this really distinctive feeling of, like, I guess that is what I really identify with as my home or something like that. It feels particularly Australian, like an Australian experience to think of that red dirt, I suppose.
I mean, you got Uluru, which is a gigantic red rock formation.
Yeah, exactly.
Huge. And it's pretty red, right?
It is. It's very red. And I mean, it's actually got so many colors in it. It's an incredible thing. And it's good that you bring that up, because I guess the song is about, like, from lyrically, although you might not get it, it's about, you know, thinking about what is our connection to Australia, so-called Australia, and the first peoples that have been, you know, living on the continent with the longest living culture in the world, you know. And what does that red dirt mean to me, as opposed to, like, a First Nations mob and that sort of thing, and what's my place here, I guess.
It is that kind of post-colonial reckoning, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
Pretty visceral thing. I think a lot of New Zealanders are thinking that at the moment as well, especially with what's going on with our government. I don't know if you've seen what's going on, but it's not great.
You've been following, yeah.
How is it with the new government in terms of relations with First Peoples? And I guess, you know, reparations in a sense, you know, what's the go there?
Yeah, well, I'm not too sure how... people in Aotearoa followed the Yes campaign
Voice
to Parliament campaign, which was this current government in Australia. And that's sort of really interesting and, like, harrowing reflection of Australian culture and also the current government, is that sort of half-assed this attempt to provide a voice to First Nations people, which is, you know, a really, really low-hanging fruit, in my opinion, sort of thing to give... some power back to First Nations people, and just really half-assed the attempt of getting that through in a referendum, and now we're here in this state where it's sort of like, oh, Indigenous political motivation is at an all-time low, and everything's kind of just been pushed to the back burner.
What's the kind of divide with the whole is it like an urban-rural divide in terms of the politics, or what? Like, why are people so against that? What do you think?
Urban-rural, different states as well. You know, it's funny living in Nam in Victoria. It's like extreme. It's a very progressive city, and it's particularly the northern suburbs where I live. It's really got this. It's a bubble, you know, lefty bubble kind of thing, and the rest of Australia is just super diverse and so super different. You have, like, rural towns and stuff like that that have really different and nuanced opinions, like, for sure, very different opinions. Some of them were really, really pro-voice, and a lot of them have large Indigenous communities and those sorts of things out there, and a lot of them weren't, and there were a lot of the Indigenous communities that were sort of, like, not sure what this was going to do just historically because of distrust with the government, and no one did a good enough job to unify the sort of campaign.
Communicate the message.
Communicate what, because the reality is, like, these big high-end government stuff come from above. They rarely come from below. So a lot of people who were on the ground didn't know what the hell it was. Just very suspicious of it, which is valid. So,
Well, I just don't think there's a need for a referendum. I mean, our government did the Waitangi Tribunal in the 70s, and that's a mixed bag, but for the most part a very good institution, and or very effective. I don't know why they just didn't, you know, just implement it as a government thing. I'm, you know, just afraid of losing the next election. You know, that could be it, but
that's it, isn't it? It's like, surely there's a better way of doing this. Like, kind of set ourselves up for failure there or something. So
yeah,
it's what it is, I guess. We keep fighting. Yeah, it's important to keep the conversation going, I guess.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And that's what you're doing with the track Red Dirt. And then on the other track of the two that you've released, No Harm, it's an excellent change in pace to quite a dubsteppy sound. Do you think you guys, your band, will ever release a like a LP, EP with just that sound? Because I think that is like excel at that incredibly well.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you. We love that song so much. Potentially, yeah. Like, I guess we're super interested in experimenting with the sound and feel like it's a really good palette for so many different, I guess, directions, particularly like that more low-key dub. Like, we play live gigs that are fast-paced, intense things, but at the same time, you know, like, we do love like dubstep music and like this sort of like throwbacks to a bunch of different experimental electronic like down tempo music. So I would never ever write that out, and I'd love to do something that was like more like that. We have a lot of material like that, although we don't play it live.
Because mm-hmm. out of the band, there's what I assume is a guitarist, a vocalist, and then is someone on like a keys or like a mixer or a synth or something.
There are two drummers.
Wow, two okay, drummers. I was totally off.
Yeah.
There's a guy on piano, a guy on the harmonica.
Yeah, we've got the saxophone.
It's a big band.
Yeah.
So two drummers.
I haven't even started talking about the string section. dub symphony. Two drummers. Ruby and Andy, and they both have electronic sort of like battle stations, so running like drum machines and synths and sequenced MIDI linked like electronic stuff. And I'm playing bass and doing vocals and sort of vocal effects and stuff like that.
Sick. A guitarless band.
Occasionally. Guitarless band. Yeah. Not anti-guitar, but almost.
I think it's fair to have bands that don't have guitar that sound like they would have guitar. You know, I think that's cool. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought about it. Like, I brought a guitar to a rehearsal once and been like, whoa, this changes things.
I think it's easier to go without a guitar than it is to go without a bass, you know? For the most part.
I kind of agree.
And a bass is a bit underused.
I'm a guitarist as well.
You're a guitarist as well?
Yeah. Like, that was the thing. I was like, I'm going to be a guitarist. It's going to be sick. And now I'm like, wait, bass for me is just so much... Yeah, so much more fun, so much more dynamic, you know, so much more subtle at the same time. It's cool. But I mean, like, I love bands like I like Altero, like, you know, Ministry and stuff like that, and that's guitar music with a beat behind it, and I'm like, well, they can do it, maybe we can, but yeah.
I think we've got now is a perfect situation. Not to be like, oh, you guys sound like this band, huh? But I kind of got a little bit of a Death Grips vibe here. Are they an influence? Because I haven't really talked to Death Grips with anyone I've interviewed yet.
True. Yeah. Whoa. Like we've got that before, which I find really funny because I'm like, yeah, I just don't know how we could compare ourselves to that because they're so. I mean, for me particularly, like super iconic band.
I mean, I'm wearing the
Zach Hill shirt. Oh, hell yeah.
Is that Kill,
that's
though?
Great. Which one? Can I have a look at that again?
Oh, sure. It's got three...
Which one is that?
It's just like one of the merch shirts. It's three middle fingers all converging on a singular point for all you listeners out
like
there.
It's kind of like the peace symbol as well, right?
Yeah, kind of. And then on the back, it's got like a photo of all the band members. Yeah.
Appreciate
you. Good time. Anyway, shirts, yeah.
Cool band. Sorry.
Yeah. but you were saying
when it comes to Aotearoa, I'm coming for that shirt. No,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure, man. You were talking about Zach Hill though. Is that quite an influence for you?
I mean, personally, yes. I'm not even a drummer, so I can't speak for the others on that. We've definitely shared Zach Hill's music before, and then being like, this is really really sick. Particularly some of his other like earlier pre-Death Grip stuff. The like really percussive, really fast, really like there's like a chaos to it, you know. It's like intense. It's an intensity that I think, although we didn't ever really intend Tongue Dissolve to sound like this, I think we started with like more dubby sounding stuff and ended up sounding way more fast paced, like Death Grips and that sort of stuff. Now it makes sense that I'm sort of like, oh, okay, yeah, Death Grips. People see that in this music, and it, yeah.
For sure. No, I definitely got that vibe. I don't think we have a whole lot of time left, but I do want to ask, you played earlier in the year at Camp Aloha up near Ponikea, yep. In like February, I think it was. Yep. How did you find that experience? I've heard from everyone that it was like life-changing festival.
Yeah, I'm not gonna sway the boat on that one. It was pretty life-changing. I've never experienced anything like that. It was the first time playing like a festival, I guess, or like a big stage for me. Like, and having, yeah, like just like meeting the folk in Aotearoa and like being on that like country was beautiful. And just having, yeah, just feeling like, oh shit, like music is alive. Like, music, and his music is radical, and like people, yeah, were just, yeah, incredible. The music was awesome. We had a great time. Yeah, absolutely loved it.
Nice.
And I can't wait to come back to Aotearoa. Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. Do you have any plans to come over for a wee tour anytime in the near future?
No plans as such, but we really, really want to. I think we're going to like work on it. We're trying to organize some tours in Indonesia in Feb.
And whoa.
Hopefully maybe towards the end of the year. Yeah. Just trying to find the ways to do it, like DIY, and make sure that we're staying true to like what we want to do as artists. So yeah, finding a way of doing it is the next challenge, and Aotearoa is fully on the cards. Really, really keen. Awesome. We want to get down to Dunedin.
Like, yeah, you guys would.
Otiporti?
Oh mate, yeah, Otiporti. Y'all would go hard down here. It's very hard.
I'm so excited. Yeah,
it'd be amazing. We'll do it. I'm very excited to see that happen at some point in the near future. I guess we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I do want to ask, any more tunes coming out anytime soon?
Yeah. I guess, yeah, we do have. We're still working through a back catalogue of stuff that we've been working on over the last year or since we started the project. So, yeah, we'll be drip-feeding a couple more out and thinking about how to maybe put something longer out, something more long
bit of
form,
maybe an EP or something, or compilation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, something like that. It'd be nice to do something that was like had physical representation, like a cassette or something like that. So yeah, we're working on a bunch of stuff. We'll probably just keep dropping over the next little bit. Yeah,
awesome. I look forward to seeing an EP or an LP come out, because fantastic band. Really, really looking forward to new music from y'all at some point.
Hell yeah. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on.
No, of course. Thank you very much for coming on the show. That was Aldo Thomas from the band Tongue Dissolver chatting about their new singles, Red Dirt, and what's the other one we got? No Harm. That's right. It was No Harm. It's currently 10:41 here on the Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi Edgy Breakfast Show. We're going to play Tongue Dissolver's Red Dirt right now, and then we're going to have some news updates with Jemima Lorimer and something I like to call In The Loop. You're listening to The One, folks. Here's Tongue Dissolver. Take care.
More of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.